Radio Daily for
Not Monday. Which is a good feeling because, you know, closer to the weekend. And there's no breaks for a while. So, you know, we're in this thing together. Feel free to sing that in your head if you like. Sorry. I'm just admiring how well the computer's actually running. Hi, we're the fine folks from GeekRadioDaily.com. You know us from Facebook and Twitter and all kinds of places like that. The folks bringing it to you today, well, the man just trying to get through another one of these weeks, which is why he's glad it's not Monday. That there's podcasting for Siegfried.
Oh, I've been so a terrific mauling.
Well, actually, that sounds like you at the end of a weekend. Hi, I'm the wonderful Billy Flynn.
It's almost as though you consider yourself a star, even though you're shockingly unfamous and untalented.
But at least I'm consistent. What happened this fine day, sir?
In 1642, Dutch astronomer Christiaan Huygens discovers the South Polar Cap of Mars.
1876, the four-opera cycle Der Ring des Nibelung, The Ring of the Nibelung, written by German composer Richard Wagner, premieres at the new Bayreuth Festspiele's house.
1889, the first coin-operated telephone box is patented by William Gray of Hartford, Connecticut.
1903, the journal Nature reports that helium gas is produced by the radioactive decay of radium. This key discovery by William Ramsay and Frederick Soddy will help to reveal the structure of atoms. And you thought helium was silly.
1912, the U.S. Congress approves public law number 264, an act of regulate radio communication, also known as the radioactive 1912, mandating that radio stations must be manned 24 hours a day.
Those are the glory years. 1953, Paramount Pictures releases the sci-fi film The War of the Worlds, directed by Byron Haskin, starring Gene Barry, Ann Robinson, and Les Tremaine, to U.S. theaters. And yes, those are cicadas for the spaceships.
In 1960, the first two-way telephone conversation by satellite takes place with the use of Echo 1, a balloon satellite. Man, that must have been a long thread.
See, I told you that's helium, man. 1973, the Institute for Certification of Computing Professionals, ICCP, yeah, you know me, is founded. The organization will regulate the professional standards of the computer industry, offering a certification program for engineers to earn certified computing professional or associate computing professional degrees.
Also not to be confused with the insane communist clown party. 1976, AIP releases the sci-fi film Future World, directed by Richard T. Heffron, and starring Peter Fonda, Blythe Danner, Arthur Hill, Yul Brynner, and Jim Antonio. It is the sequel, of course, to the 1973 film Westworld.
And is just plain awful. 1987, scientists announced that fossilized bones discovered in Texas in 84 may be those of the world's oldest birds, or as we call them, dinosaurs.
1991, Nintendo releases the platform game Super Mario World, along with the SNES, in North America. It is the original game to come bundled with the SNES and will go on to become one of the most sold games for the system.
It also introduced us to Yoshi. 1996, data is returned from the Galileo space probe, indicating there may be water on Europa, the sixth moon of Jupiter.
Same day, same year, Microsoft releases the Internet Explorer 3 web browser.
Oh, right, that was the one. Three's the magic number.
Yeah, if only they'd ever made any technological advancements with their web browser.
1998, the Bandai e-commerce site Anime Village goes online. It is Bandai's first attempt to sell anime in North America, but they only offer subtitled VHS cassettes, even though everyone's like, I got a DVD player, man. It's the 90s.
1999, Donald A. Thomas Jr. of Manteca, California, purchases the first commercially available copy of Yar's Revenge for the Game Boy Color handheld video game system.
God, and we all rejoiced that day. 2004, 20th Century Fox releases Alien vs. Predator, directed by Paul Whatscript Anderson and starring Sanaa Lathan, Lance Henriksen, Ryle Bova, Ewan Bremmer, and Colin Salmon.
Same day, senior Adam Curry, a former MTV video jockey, launches the Daily Source Code podcast. The podcast will earn him a name as the father of podcasting, not for inventing the medium, but for popularizing it. Podcasting had technically existed in the form of audio blogging. Curry, however, was the first to offer audio recordings via RSS feeds. Yes, he is the original OG father of podcasting. Yes, he did help invent the medium. And anybody who doesn't believe that needs to learn their history.
Yeah, but his name's not podcasting's Adam Curry.
Nor is it Adam Carolla or Ricky Gervais.
2005, the 13th World Computer Chess Championship, the WCC, held August 13th to 21st at Reykjavik University in Iceland, will be won by Zappa, a chess engine programmed by Anthony Cozy, a graduate student at the University of Illinois at Urbana-Champaign.
Not as good a musician as the human Zappa.
No.
2008 marketing research firm Comscore releases a report revealing that Facebook has overtaken MySpace to become the most popular social networking site. That's right, kids. MySpace used to be a thing.
Just like you learned Thursday nights, Richmond Trivia players. Birthdays?
Sebastian Stan, 37 years old, from Hot Tub Time Machine, of course Bucky in the MCU, The Martian, I, Tonya, and looks better with a beard.
Debbie Mazur is 55 from Goodfellas, so I married an axe murderer, Batman Forever, and Empire Records.
And looks way better without a beard.
Yeah.
John Slattery, 57, from Underdog, he of course is the older Howard Stark in the MCU, Churchill, and of course Mad Men. Yeah, he's all a right. Fellow too.
Good guy. Danny Bonaducci is 60, from The Partridge Family, Hots, a film I may have watched 8,000 times when I was in the 8th grade, and World's Dumbest.
I have been waiting forever for him to appear alongside Carrot Top in Parent Trap 3. Born this day, no longer with us in 1860, Annie Oakley. Of course, she got her gun and then became an American sharpshooter and exhibition shooter.
1888, John Logie Baird, Scottish engineer, invented the television, no matter what that other guy says.
See, we didn't have any of his news in the rest of the history today. I knew he had to appear somewhere. It's almost tradition.
Yeah, right?
1895, Bert Lair, Zeke, and the Cowardly Lion in The Wizard of Oz. And for trivia players out there, in the 1944 patriotic film Meet the People, Lair uttered the phrase, "Heavens to Murgatroyd," later popularized by cartoon character Snagglepuss.
1929, Pat Harrington Jr. voiced Ray Palmer, the Atom, and Roy Harper, Speedy, on the Superman Aquaman Hour of Adventure, neither one of which are those two people. And of course, he's best known as being Schneider on One Day at a Time.
On CBS, we've got a rerun of NCIS, FBI, NCIS. No.
No. ABC, it's a new Bachelor in Paradise, but then reruns of Bless This Mess and Black-ish.
NBC has the quarterfinals won on A New America's Got Talent and Bring the Funny.
Fox, it's reruns of Spin the Wheel, so make bets with your friends who are slow, and 911.
CW, Thomas's father, who's supposedly telepathic, arrives on campus and attempts to get his estranged son involved in an incredibly dangerous heist in which nothing is as simple as it seems on a new Pandora and Mysteries Decoded.
Freeform, it's Ice Age, The Meltdown, also known as Water.
AMC has Ender's Game, which is a way better movie than people gave credit for.
That's true. FX, with Blanca reeling from an unexpected loss, a lecturer organizes a girl's trip to the shore on a new pose.
FXX, Simpsons Marathon, Little Orphan Willie, Hardly Kirking, and V is for Mystery.
FXM has Gone Girl and Girl on the Train. Get your girl night going.
Gone Girl on the Train? Yep. Is it like Throw Mama from the Train, but it's all about a kid or something? Yeah.
Oh, it doesn't have Fregs.
IFC has We're the Millers.
BBC America has Outbreak.
Paramount Network, by accident or by design, on a new Ink Master.
Sundance, which only has the most quality films, is showing Batman and Robin. Forgot your Sundance.
It's not even the one with Debbie Mazar.
No.
Siffy has Resident Evil Retribution.
VH1's got a new episode of Hip Hop Squares, but tonight we're watching the Hallmark Channel because a biology teacher has chosen to be a bridesmaid and teaches a class to people on Blue Island, where she discovers her ex-boyfriend is working for a real estate developer who is currently building a new resort in her hometown. Leah Cudmore, Chris McNally, and Fiona Vroom star in Sailing Into Love.
The wonderful Billy Flynn looks at what Chad and Abby are up to now. If you know what TV show they're on this week, you could win yourself a prize. It's your Further Adventures of Chad and Abby update. Chad develops romantic feelings for Deputy DA Abby and decides to pursue her, which sounds threatening. Gabby is taken to task by Tony and Abe for refusing a large insurance settlement. It's their money, and they want it now. Just as she files for divorce from her abusive husband, Chloe is promoted from law clerk to junior associate. Was that a reward? The reading of Andre's will gets Tony so mad he considers dropping this law stuff and pursuing his true passion of finding the missing minutes of the Watergate tapes he thinks are buried on the moon. Hashtag Chappy. Forever.
No blasted lettuce today!
tuning into Sci-Fi TV. Hey, everybody. Welcome back. I'm Brent Barrett.
I'm Kevin Batchelder.
I'm Wendy Hembrock.
The Viewer's Guide to Genre Television.
Welcome, everyone, to a special Supernatural-focused bonus
Hello, everyone,
show.
And welcome to The Fae-Files,
a family of podcasts for the genre-loving television viewer.
Welcome to Saturday B Movie Reel.
Hi, everyone. Welcome to the study
welcome
group.
Welcome to the Top Genre Characters of All Time Countdown.
And tonight, we're going to be talking about Game of Thrones Season 3.
Find us at tuningintosci-fi-tv.com.
Hello, geeks over there. Are you listening to me? Hello, geek radio friends and enemies. This is Geek Radio Daily Geek Radio Show. It comes 24 hours, every day, nonstop. Geek this, geek that. Geek, geek, geek.
You certainly are. And yes, that is a quick reminder that you should go visit the good old YouTube page. There's all kinds of videos and stuff there. But in the meantime...
Sir.
What?
Are either one of these any good?
I don't watch movies.
No, but I'm damn sure that you watch them. So tell me, what's out this fine, fantastic day, sir?
Well, from our television aisle, we've got New Amsterdam Season 1.
Blacklist Season 6.
Spanish Princess Season 1.
Homeland Season 7. Isn't that the final one? I don't know.
Riverdale Season 3.
Teen Titans Go Season 5 Part 1. Pizza.
Oh, great. They're splitting the seasons up. That's not a cash grab. On classic television on DVD, we've got I Love Lucy. It's the colorized version. But come on, it's I Love Lucy.
Heart to heart. Movies of murder. The 8 film things that they did. I take care of them both.
No, it's Moida. Moida. We've also got Double Dragon, the animated series.
Must be anime based on title alone is Hinamatsuri, the complete series. That or I had a seizure.
In our collection aisle, we have Saw, all 8 films. They made 8 of those damn things?
Yeah, and I believe he was in every one of them, even though he died in the second one. Then from our knockoffs department, we've got Kung Fu Rooster?
I believe it would be pronounced Roosta.
Ah.
We've also got Bugged 2, which is clearly not a ripoff of Bug's Life.
Clearly. From our re-release department, you can get steelbooks of all the individual Marvel Cinematic Universe flicks that you've already bought 2 other times.
We also have an American Werewolf in London, if you don't already have it on Blu-ray.
So good. Fierce Creatures, which an American Werewolf in London is.
Look, if there's going to be a spiritual successor to A Fish Called Wanda, I mean, come on. We've also got the amazing, the classic, the timeless Undercover Brother.
So good. From our could-be porn department, Blitzkrieg, Escape from Stalag 69, dude.
Nice. Looks awesome, but you've probably never heard of it. It's Dude Bro Party Massacre 3.
Finally,
answer the question. There are 2 other ones.
From our regular movies department, The Meanest Man in Texas. Take your pick. There's too many good jokes there.
Is that a sequel to The Biggest Little Whorehouse in Texas? We've also got 12.
That's how many meanest men in Texas. Enemy Within.
We also have Vault.
Finding Steve McQueen. I can tell you where he is right now, but I don't want to give it away.
Is it the director or the actor? I get very confused by those two.
Yes.
We've also got the 2018 Halloween.
Which is pretty good. Happy Death Day to You, which, whatever.
And of Avengers and Game.
But we're probably getting the story of a man who lost his parents, and now he's a priest traveling to China, where he inherits a mysterious ability that allows him to turn into a dinosaur. At first horrified by this new power, a hooker convinces him to use it to fight crime. And ninjas. Alyssa Kapinski stars with Greg Cohen, who is the Velasa Pastor.
I'm not wearing any pants. Film at 11.
Geek News! Okay, take a look at the world. From a geeky point of view, that movie cannot live for that title. The Walking Dead has been saying goodbye to some fan favorite characters over the last few years, but the show's 10th season is now bringing a character back again.
If it's not Carl, I don't care.
That's okay. I'm not sure anyone does care. Cindy Park, who played Cindy, first appeared in season 7 of the hit AMC series with the introduction of the Oceanside community, and then she sort of disappeared 3 episodes into season 9 after getting revenge on a rat.
On a rat? Like, Ratigan?
But while the story arc is incomplete, Cindy still has more to do in the world of The Walking Dead, at least according to a photo released from season 10, which was shared by Cindy Park, along with stars like Norman Reedus on her Instagram, writing the phrase, Walking Dead season 10, bitches! Guess she's got a few more saviors to kill since Rick's rules aren't the only ones.
40-year-old Kenichi Hiratsuka has been arrested after allegedly sending a threatening message to Square Enix.
He danced around while holding a knife with Hip to Be Square playing. That really does add to the cynical sense of humor.
You know, I've heard that song isn't just about the pleasures of conformity and the importance for trends. It's also a personal statement about the band itself. However, the message was sent via Square Enix's inquiry page. "Give me my money back for your shitty game," read the message. "Want me to do a repeat of Kyoto Animation?" Well, you see, in July, a suspected arsonist allegedly lit gasoline in Kyoto Animation's Fushimi studio, killing 35 employees.
So he just confessed to that?
Hiratsuka has admitted to sending the message, telling authorities, "I was pissed after losing at a game, so I ended up sending the message." Authorities did not discover any gasoline or other flammables at the suspect's house.
When will people acknowledge the dangers of Candy Crush? Aside from Matricula, she can keep crushing it.
Earlier this spring, another man was arrested for threatening to kill Square Enix staff. At the time, the suspect reportedly said, "I spent over 200,000 yen, about $1,800, on the game, and I didn't get the in-game item I wanted, so I sent the email out of revenge."
It's only a game. Why you have to be mad?
Wait, nasty emails are revenge? Man, the 21st century adaptation of The Count of Monte Cristo is going to be boring. Well, unless Abby Faria plans everything out in emojis.
Amazon is trying to set up a physical liquor store in San Francisco, which means soon you may be able to act out your drunk Amazon purchases in real time.
I am nowhere near there. Prime delivery is probably still going to be quicker.
Amazon has recently begun investing in brick-and-mortar locations, such as the cashierless convenience stores that debuted last year, with purported plans to open thousands more.
Trying to starve out Sarah Connor. Sneaky, Cyberdyne. Sneaky.
At the same time, Amazon's been taking some serious steps to try to make its on-demand delivery service now the go-to for alcohol deliveries in California. While the company's been delivering booze through Prime Now in other parts of the country since 2015, California requires all businesses, yeah, even online ones, to get a liquor license before you can sell alcohol within state lines. And Amazon applied for a permit at the end of last week.
Wait, even grocery stores?
Apparently, the proposed 200-square-foot storefront will be located in San Francisco's Dogpatch neighborhood, right next to Little Abner, where an Amazon warehouse currently stands. Amazon has not yet confirmed whether the liquor store would be cashierless as well, but it would act as a hub for Prime Now deliveries. At the same time, customers could come in between 8 a.m. and 4 p.m. to get their beer, wine, or spirits in person. Deliveries from the location would be available until midnight.
Well, after midnight, they gonna let it all hang out.
The move makes sense given that Amazon already offers its grocery delivery service, Amazon Fresh, throughout the San Francisco area, even without the physical storefront that gives the company foundation for potentially far-reaching alcohol delivery service. It also offers customers the added novelty of setting foot in an actual Amazon store to buy their favorite booze. Now, if they bring back the Zima, they got me.
A collision at sea that claimed the lives of 10 sailors has led to the Navy deciding to replace an unpopular touchscreen interface in some ships with more traditional mechanical controls. "Just because you can doesn't mean you should," a Navy official said of the outgoing technology.
That's what many said about the Virtual Boy.
The crash in question involved the USS John S. McCain and an oil tanker in August of 2017. The sailors at the helm lost control of the ship and put it in the path of the tanker, resulting in the collision that killed 10 and injured 58 more. A National Transportation Safety Board investigation was issued recently and found that, essentially, the sailors didn't know how to control the ship properly due to a lack of proper training and documentation.
I was under the impression that when you were in the Navy, they taught you to search the world for treasure, as well as learn science technology.
The Northrop Grumman Designed Integrated Bridge and Navigation System, or IBNS, is a pair of touchscreens that incorporate a number of functions, not so different from the dash touchscreen in a new car, taking over the temperature and radio knobs and buttons.
So I'm qualified to steer a Navy ship?
But the complexity of the system led to one sailor thinking he was controlling the ship's entire throttle, while only in fact controlling one side. This led to the John S. McCain making a sharp turn directly into the path of the oncoming tanker.
So wait. It has Atari 2600 Superman-style controls?
Turns out no one really knew how these systems, which were installed only a year ago, really worked. And in a crisis situation, were unable to quickly perform the maneuvers necessary. So the Navy is pulling the systems out of the destroyers they have been installed in.
This is why you never skip the tutorial.
No doubt that Tom Paris will one day play this podcast to Tuvok as justification for the flight stick on the Delta Flyer. I mean, how else are you going to pull off a Culvord starburst?
And since you can't take a break for too long without having to have a sad moment, Ernie Colon, an iconic comic book artist with 6 decades in the industry, has passed away. His family posted an update on the Facebook page, saying, "I post today with a heavy heart. The extraordinary Ernie Colon passed away in his home at the age of 88, surrounded by family after a year of battling, and I mean battling, cancer. F cancer. He did things on his own terms. The legacy he leaves behind is astonishing. 60 plus years in comics, not to mention the work he did in other mediums, including painting, writing, sculpting. I don't think there was anything he couldn't do. He loved to create." Ernie was born July 13, 1931 in Puerto Rico, but he spent most of his life in the U.S. His career in comics began in the 60s, writing Richie Rich, Casper the Friendly Ghost, and then of course he went to horror titles like Creepy, Eerie, and Vampirella, and was the first artist for Marvel's Battlestar Galactica adaptation in 79. One of his most enduring creations, Amethyst, Princess of Gemworld, debuted in DC in 1983. Him and the writing team of Dan Mishkin and Gary Cohn introduced Amethyst slash Amy Winston, a teenager who was thrust into a heroic role in a mystic realm. In 1988, Colon and writer Dwayne McDuffie created Damage Control, a comedic comic about the company that cleans up and also rebuilds after superhero battles.
And would sort of give us Powerless one day, so thank you.
His numerous credits include Black Widow, The Coldest War, Dreadstar, Magnus, Robot Fighter, Beetlejuice, Savage Sword of Conan, Red Sonja, so many others. In 2006, him and longtime collaborator Sid Jacobson released the 9/11 Report, a graphic adaptation. They reteamed for several other things, including 9/11, America's War on Terror, a graphic biography, Shea, Anne Frank, the Anne Frank House. And one of his last projects was the Warren Commission Report, a graphic investigation into the Kennedy assassination, which was released in 2014.
And 5 years was long enough to wait without raising questions, thought the Illuminati.
So thank you for all of those wonderful memories, sir. GRD is licensed under the Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, Non-Derivative Works, United States, Super Electrical. Check us out on Facebook and on Twitter. Somebody was at GRDD.com. And because I'm a dummy and didn't look at my note that's right here in my notes, did you notice that the Senna Mistress is talking about scary stories to tell in the dark? Which looks amazing and sounds amazing from the bits and pieces I've heard thus far. So tell us all about that, what you've been doing, and where you think Chad and Abby are this week. Just drop us a note, won't you please? It's podcast at geekradiodaily.com. Of course, you can send us a voicemail to
510-GRD.
And that'll be about what we do there.
And we also have stuff on the YouTubes.
Ooh, that's right.
Blah, 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 blah.
Funny, I detect no source of amusement.
The world is not in your books and maps. It's out there.
Good night, suckers!
Something's happening. It's dead. We were all praying for a miracle.
The Martians had no resistance to the bacteria in our atmosphere to which we have long since become immune. Once they had breathed our air, germs which no longer affect us began to kill them. The end came swiftly. All over the world, their machines began to stop and fall. After all that men could do had failed, the Martians were destroyed and humanity was saved by the littlest things which God in his wisdom had put upon this earth.